Welcome back, everybody, as we ride along on the Pedigo podcast. Join us as we talk with the entrepreneurs behind this movement and the love stories of those just riding along. And today, well, as always, I don't know where we're finding them all here, but there's some amazing stories we keep finding for you here on the Pedigo podcast here. And today is no different. I want to welcome to the show for the first time, hopefully not the last time, James and Rochelle Lawrenson. Did I say that correctly?
You said it great, Paul. Thanks. Pretty
close here. Well, James and Rochelle are dealers in where? Tucson? Is that where you are?
That's right.
And you've been doing this for a couple of years now here, so we're going to talk about what the heck and why. Particularly, we're going to talk about, let's start with your background. Let's talk with your story of how you got from there to here. We'll start with James. You were in aerospace sales 30 years and business development. I'm looking at aircraft sales, fractional ownership. You're even a licensed pilot. How in the world does that turn into riding an e-bike?
Well, there's a lot of peaks and valleys in aviation, Paul, and I was in a valley at the time between opportunities, and I actually had just finished the kitchen, doing some painting, remodeling, and I answered a banner ad that says, own your own electric bike store.
Oh, my goodness. You're kidding me. You saw a banner ad, and you're painting the house and thinking, I'm tired of this. I'm going to do something different here.
Well, it was intriguing. So the next day, I went into Pedigo Scottsdale, and bless her heart, Kathy and Bill that own that store. They've had some experience for a few years. I came in the door, and she said, starts talking about bikes. And I said, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm here for one reason. I just want to see if this is something that I want to do as a profession, to own a store.
So had you ever been on an e-bike? Was this just out of the blue, or did you have any experience with them? I mean,
About 3 or 4 years prior, around Minneapolis, where I'm from, I was out with my daughter, and I'm an experienced biker, and she wasn't. So we were going around the lakes, and I told my daughter, I said, honey, let's get an electric bike for you so you can keep up. And so while she was out on that day with me, I tried it once, and, you know, it was okay, but I had known about them, but I hadn't really been on one lately until that time where I went for a spin in the parking lot at Pedigo Scottsdale. And Paul, I knew after the first 10 seconds that there's something to this Pedigo bike for sure.
Everybody says that. Everybody says, I say, what is it that made you buy one? What is it that made you want to sell one? And they all stumble around and they say, have you ridden one? I say, yeah, it's amazing. In the first few seconds, there's a big smile on your face. Exactly. So that was your experience. You were intrigued. You're looking for something else to do, another opportunity. See this banner ad and committed. Now you come home and tell your wife, Rochelle, hey, honey, I think I'm leaving the aircraft business here, and I'm going to fly in a different direction. And she says, are you crazy?
Well, she did say that, but she saw a magazine catalog I brought home from the store. And she says, what's this? And then I told her, and she looked at me like, oh, okay, this is just one of your crazy ideas again.
Yes. Men of a certain age start fantasizing. I'm going to Tahiti. I'm going to open this. I'm going to do something with my life now here. I'm going to change my life. Yeah, sure, honey. Right.
Exactly.
All right. So, Rochelle, let's talk about your story. He comes from Minneapolis, which, as we said off air, that's actually where I was born. That's pretty cold and frozen country up there. That's a whole different world, the Midwest. You're a Southern California girl. You're an Orange County native right here. I didn't think there were any. You're one of the three that was born and raised here in Mission Viejo. You went to Laguna Hills High School, and you manage the budget for the famous USA swim club, the Mission Viejo Nadadores. Tell me about that. I know about them. They've spawned lots of Olympic athletes here. They got a big spectacular pool and training center here.
Absolutely. And it was a great opportunity, a great 6 to 7 years of my life. Both of our daughters swam competitively there. Our youngest daughter swam competitively all the way up to Olympic trials.
Wow.
And so I was able, at an early time, I was on their board, and I was able to, they were looking for somebody to do their office management and accounting work, and I applied and got the job. So it was a great experience for me. I was able to work side by side with Coach Bill Rose there at the Nadadores, And I got to travel with the team, and it was just a fabulous experience.
And they've brought forth many Olympic swimmers. Am I not mistaken? Haven't a number of them come through that program here? I want to say, maybe I'm wrong on this one, Greg Lugane.
Yeah, Greg was on the diving program. Actually, the Nadadors did put a Olympian on every Olympic team for up until, I believe, not this last Olympiad, but the one before that. But yeah, we had like Chloe Sutton. We had not Janet Evans. She was on the team, but later all sorts of different Olympians, and wonderful experience for all of them. We had tons of kids that went to the Olympic trials, tons of kids that were able to go through scholarships and be able to swim in college.
So when your husband, the licensed pilot, the aircraft sales guy, comes home and with another brochure and another wild idea and says, honey, I really want to have you join me and dive into this one. And not only did you look at him and say, really, did you see a connection between your background and the swimming world and all the other things? You did a whole bunch of other things too. Was there any correlation to owning a business and selling e-bikes?
Well, you know, I had never been on an e-bike. He and my daughter had it at that one point back in Minneapolis, but I was like, what the heck is an e-bike? Yeah. And it was a shock when he said that he wanted to do this, because I had no idea what that entailed and how, you know, we had had a small business at one time, but never a retail store. And so I was like, do you even know anything about retail? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Forget about e-bikes. Do you know how to have a neighborhood store where you're in the community selling stuff to your customers who are going to ride by and be down the street?
Exactly. And he had never had that retail experience. I mean, I worked at the Limited or something, you know, back in high school.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, I kind of had the retail experience of like 2 years. To pair all of that together was an interesting blend for both of us.
So how did you decide to take the leap? Used to diving into chilly waters here. I don't know. Maybe used to swimming along, whatever. But, you know, when this became more than a fantasy and started to get real, how did you two make that leap of faith to move to Tucson? Were you living in Tucson at the time, or did you move to Tucson?
Well, we weren't, Paul. We were still in Chandler, just south of Phoenix.
Right.
And but I had to take her to Southern California. I had to get her to experience the home office. And so we did. And our first experience was, just as we were coming in the door, there was Don DiCostanzo just seeing us, meeting us for the first time. He brought us in his office. And that whole day was the start of just opening our eyes to the whole Pedego experience and the technology and their business plan. And by that evening, Tom Bach was hosting us through the day.
Sure.
We were fully on board and just wondering, you know, at what month can we open our store back in Arizona? And at the time, we wanted to open up Chandler-Gilbert area, but they weren't going to, they'd already opened up a couple new stores, Glendale, as well as North Scottsdale.
These are all areas around Phoenix. These are all suburbs of Phoenix here, right?
So we turned our attention to Tucson. We used to live here 25 years ago. And so I came down here on my bike and discovered the bike culture that is quite large here in Tucson.
Really?
And I said, honey, this is going to be a great place to have our store. And that's how we got down here.
I think of Tucson as the Old West. I've only been there once. And isn't Tombstone like an hour south of there, you know, the famous gunfights and everything? And it seems like the Old West to me here. I would think there's lots of cowboys there. Are they into e-bikes? I would think they're more into horses down there.
We've got a rancher just across the dry wash down the shared use path from us that uses one of our bikes, the Element, as a working bike. He
really?
Says, James, I get around on my ranch a lot quicker on my Pedego Element than I can on my my four-wheel, you know, Gator. He comes in the store, he's got his chaps on and his cowboy hat on. And,
I kind of see that, hopping on his Pedego e-bike here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, first of all, just the fact that you said across the wash, you understand the people listening around the country are going, what the heck is he talking about? What do you mean across the wash? In Minneapolis, they didn't say, well, look over there across the wash. The wash is where the rains come once in a while and wash everything away, right here?
Yes, and we had the biggest rains this past winter, so some of the washes were going bank to bank. They were more like rivers. Which
so you got cowboys hopping on e-bikes here, and they're even using them for ranching. So if we were going to redo the series Dallas, or we were going to redo the a gunfight at the OK Corral, would there be e-bikes involved? They'd be pulling up in their e-bikes instead of their horses here?
There's another customer who came to mind. She bought a bike about 3 weeks ago, and she specifically goes on a gravel road for 5 miles until she gets to her horse property. That's her passion, is horses, but this allowed her to have more access and quicker access to riding horses. So,
and it's strange that you say that, because I'm seeing all these little paths intersecting here. We had William Shatner on just before he decided to go into space at 90 here recently.
Right.
But he's on, and people, if you followed his career at all, not only has he been this iconic actor, but he's been a famous horse breeder. And he rides them and competes them and raises them and stuff here. And he said for him, that was a big switch. He had been in horses most of his life. And suddenly when he discovered an e-bike, it was that same outdoor freedom, but I got a little electric assist here. I can go other places that maybe the horse doesn't want to go or isn't going to go as easily here. Do you find the two go hand in hand? You think people who ride horses would say, I'm not getting on one of those, but you're saying it's the opposite.
I think that it really pairs well together because, you know, they're accustomed to being on a wild animal,
right?
Or a tamed right. animal. But, you know, e-bikes also give them that freedom of a little bit of speed, of, you know, of able to get around and maneuver.
And to go off road, to go out where nobody is, ride out into the range. You know, you can ride out one way on a horse, or you can nowadays ride out on an e-bike. I mean, these aren't just for cities.
Exactly. And a lot of people do that. I mean, they do like to get off a little bit onto that crushed gravel and experience the beauty of the Southwest desert.
Well, here in Orange County, of course, you know, we have trails everywhere here because we have all these arroyos and canyons that they didn't want to build in, couldn't build in. So we're known for all these parks and interconnected trailways. But right behind my subdivision, there's a long trailway that goes all the way up to the mountain and down to the ocean here. And I can't tell you how many people I see on e-bikes now. It's not what I thought. I thought e-bikes would be commuters. It would be riding around cities. You know, the cities like Portland stuff that have made a priority to get people out of their cars and make the streets more walkable, rideable and stuff. I get all that. I didn't get this outdoor adventure. And yet you're living proof. It's riding in where places and spaces I didn't think of before here.
Those that are in the store full time, my two service people with me, the three of us pedego commute into work, 12 miles for me and 10 miles for them. We gave our second car to our youngest daughter about 14 months ago, mm-hmm. and we decided not to backfill it with another car. So for me, I preferred to pedego into work because it was a lot more fun on my commute, and to not have a $500 kit car payment and
and insurance and maintenance and
operational costs. I mean, it really helps the bottom line.
You are the second dealer in a row. We had somebody else come on. I can't remember which one. I'll have to go listen to the episodes here. They all have such common themes, but they did the same thing. When they opened their store, one of the byproducts was, I think it was down in Florida, they ended up selling their car, and now they only have one car. And I thought, wow, there's another advantage. There's another unexpected consequence of the e-bike revolution here. Maybe we're going to end up, especially as we get older, maybe we're going to have less cars. We'll have more e-bikes and less cars. What do you think, Rochelle? Is that part of what's happening here?
Yeah, I think that's like something that we're definitely moving towards. You know, I never thought that we would give up a vehicle to have, you know, James wanting to ride his bike to work every day.
Not Southern Californian, not somebody from Orange County. We never give up our cars. You know,
that's right. I mean, our car is our image, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. So now you're opening the store in a rather quick succession. How did you go find the location? Did you just ride around? We had one couple said they rode around in an e-bike to kind of see what the neighborhood looks like from that perspective. Any advice on how to go find a store?
Well, yeah, I did my homework and looked at properties, about six or seven I had in mind. And then Pedego typically will help you with that. They're so helpful with most everything. But I had Tom Bach out for maybe the better part of a day looking at five properties. And at the end of the day, I said, okay, Tom, if it was your store, where would you have us? And he says, you need to get into St. Philip's Plaza. And eventually that's where we got in, and we've had a great relationship with that plaza.
And are you at all worried, or were you worried that you didn't have a retail sales background? You've been in rather high-priced items, aircrafts. Your wife's worked in the high-flying world of competitive swimming or Olympic swimming. None of these sounds like preparation for opening basically a local retail shop in a neighborhood.
You're right, Paul. That was a risk. But as I look more into Pedego, as we looked into it, they've had a business model that's been successful for a lot of years. And as I saw it, it was reducing our risk to get involved with a proven system.
Yeah, exactly.
And to rely on people that knew retail. And, you know, I'm a simple Norwegian. I just do what works and I stay away from what doesn't work. And that's been good for us to think about that over the years as we come up with crazy ideas. We just go right back to the cookbook, the Pedego way of doing things.
Do you ever pinch yourself, Rochelle, and say, how did we get here? Is this still a dream?
You know, I do, because James has been one over the years that has really come up with some interesting ideas.
That's a polite way of saying he's a dreamer. He's got lots of ideas. Yeah,
he does. And, you know, I mean, and so when he comes up with these, I'm like, OK, honey, sure. I'll back you on this. And this, when we really started digging into it and really seeing the model of Pedego, and I was like, wow, this is really something that we could do and enjoy and have fun at and be passionate about.
And talk about the connection with your customers. That's got to be different. You sell aircraft, a fractional ownership of some corporate jet or private jet or something. Yeah, I guess you get to know them, but I don't know that they come back week after week and say, hey, how you doing? Right up
well,
in there.
It's different, Paul. Some of our sales cycles used to be a couple, 3 years,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Working with engineering programs on certain systems, on military programs. But when a sales cycle could be as much as 20 to 60 minutes, you know, that was something new to me.
Yeah, so exactly.
And we just didn't work with, you know, engineers and professional purchasing people. These are any old Joe that comes across the threshold of our store. And so it was refreshing in a way and challenging as well. I'm always up for a challenge. I like to learn things even at age 60. It was fun. I mean, it's just refreshing so to have a couple, three, four wins under your belt on a daily basis,
yeah,
that's
right.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that, the long cycle of selling aircraft or developing aircraft, either military or private or commercial, all this stuff. So last question, what's it feel like to be part of the community? Because what I'm hearing is the Pedego dealers aren't like the paint shop down the way there or something. You get to know your customers. You hang out with your customers. Heck, you probably ride with your customers and special events and weekend get-togethers and stuff. What's that like?
You know, we've had a great business model to follow, but our customer base, when they stuck with us, when we opened up, I mean, we're not like we are now. I mean, 4 short years, we've had a better following of people, and there's more and more Pedegos, but those initial customers, they still keep coming back. They come back and see our new store. It's more than twice the size of the original one. And they're just happy for us and themselves because they know that they've got a store to rely upon. But we've got customers that keep coming back. Sometimes they just come back to shoot the breeze in the store.
To shoot the breeze. Did any of your customers ever come back to shoot the breeze? I just bought this aircraft or I'm releasing it. Let me just shoot the breeze and say, no reason. Just stop in. How you doing?
Typically not, no. And they come in to... Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and sometimes you have to pull yourself away when other people are in the store and you just want to, you know, hang out with them, and that's the fun part of the business, and seeing people's lives change as a result of the technology, I mean, that's a lot of fun, too, and you've probably had that question answered as
amazing.
Well,
people, we've had some really heartbreaking stories, people who had cancer, people who couldn't get out. We had one woman from, I think it was up in Westlake Village here or something, who was riding one, and she couldn't even drive to work. She had a car accident, and she was 30 operations later, and somebody said, why don't you get an e-bike and just get out again? You don't have to pedal as hard. You can start it. And now she rides like 100-mile rides, and it's changed her life. This wasn't just fun. This is life changing here. It got her back out into the world again here. I hear lots of those. That's amazing.
We had one customer came in, and it was for his wife that had been riding for a year and a half, and came in for the first tune-up, and which is a testament to our bike. And mm-hmm. and he said, "Well, this bike has changed my wife's life." And I said, "Well, tell me how."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, she's now riding 5 days a week, 20 to 30 miles a day, and she's dropped 55 pounds.
Isn't that amazing?
And so hearing stories like that, and, you know, it just makes us feel really, really good.
Yeah, because you're selling something that has an immediate impact in people's lives. We all want to help people. We all want to, you know, have a profitable business and have a product that everybody wants. But we don't often think of what kind of an impact that I sell washers and dryers. Okay, I hope you love the washer and dryer here, but I may not be changing your life here. It has that potential to it here. Well, I think it's a fascinating story here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, we're in the fun business. And so as a byproduct, you know, it's hard not to have these kinds of episodes with customers. And it is a unique industry. And to be in the fun business, not many people are in it.
What's it like to be in the fun business, Rochelle? I don't know that I'm in the fun business. I'm sort of in a fun business, but I don't know that I think of it as the fun business. Yeah.
Well, you know, I love it because, I mean, I go in and when I'm there, I get to talk to the customers. I get to go out on a ride with them if I want to. I can, you know, when they come back, I'm like, "Welcome back. How was it?" And they are just exuding this, you know, energy of just glowing, and they had so much fun and seeing the mountains and maybe an animal or, you know, I mean, to them, it's just made their day. And so we're just thrilled that we can be a part of that.
Well, you made my day by coming in here today and telling us your story here. I can see the big smile on both of your faces here. And I just keep wondering, you know, what is driving this thing? Where is it going? Where do you think it's going? Last wrap-up question. Is this just get bigger? Do more people join in? Are there new plateaus we haven't realized? New uses for these things? New customers?
Well, I think all of that's going to take place, Paul, but it's really the passion. I think at some point, most every bike is going to be assisted electrically. Mm-hmm. And as that technology moves, I think our company is going to stay on the forefront of that to reach a customer base that we really specialize in. So there's, I mean, the outlook is really, really good for Pedego.
Pretty cool to be leading the charge here. You didn't know you're going to be part of a movement and as you left your previous careers and looked at this encore career, who knew that you were going to not only have fun along the way and make some money, but you were going to be part of a movement changing the world here. I think that's what you're doing. And I appreciate you letting us ride along here. Tell us the store and how do they find you again here?
We're at PedegoTucson.com. We're looking at a second store. So
see? Wow, look at that.
But you'll see us on that website. If you just Google Pedego Tucson, you'll find us that way too. We're open 6 days a week, except for Mondays now, 10 to 6 p.m.
I'm coming down. I'm going to bring my grandson. We're going to go to the OK Corral, and we're going to saddle up to your store here, take a ride out in the wilderness here on one of your Pedego bikes here. I look forward to it. Thanks for joining us today here.
Yeah, it's fun having us on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another amazing example of the people driving the e-bike revolution and the love stories of those just riding along. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. For more information, you can find out more. Just visit pedego.com. That's pedego.com. And see where it takes you.